All right, everybody. Now let's talk about how to handle lingering symptoms. So if you've treated SIBO and you've retested and it's normal, or symptoms are generally good and maybe you're at that 90% better mark with symptoms, but they're still there, or maybe SIBO recurs. So why is this going to happen? Let's talk about why there'd be lingering symptoms and why SIBO would recur. So one of the reasons for recurrence of SIBO is due to low stomach acid or ongoing protein pump inhibitor use. So this is going to be so important that we work on getting people off of their protein pump inhibitors, as well as replacing their stomach acid. Another reason for the recurrence of SIBO is that motility issues persist, and that there's a motility issue due to either the vagal nerve and a vagal nerve problem, or due to a problem with the migrating motor complex and it's not being sufficiently addressed. Another reason for recurrence of SIBO is due to structural issues, so abdominal scar tissue has not been fixed. A manual technique like the Wern technique, it has been shown to really help scar tissue and help some of those structural issues. So if somebody had surgery or they have certain strictures or structural issues, you can look up a Wern practitioner, Wern, Wern practitioner online to see if there's a Wern practitioner near where your client lives. Another reason for the recurrence is due to immunodeficiency, and that immunodeficiency leading to a regrowth of the bacteria in the small intestine. So hopefully you're catching on to something that these reasons for recurrence are the same reasons as the why that SIBO happens to begin with. So if we don't fix the underlying why that SIBO occurred, then of course it's going to likely recur again. So the final category that we talked about in a previous lesson regarding the why is alcohol use or antibiotic overuse. So moderate or severe alcohol use needs to be addressed. We need to make sure that people are not overusing antibiotics. Another thing that could happen is we could clear the SIBO, but then somebody could get food poisoning. And even though we have fixed all of these underlying root causes, if somebody has a new exposure to food poisoning, that can create and have SIBO recur by that mechanism that we've already talked about, by that cytolethal descending toxin B. And the antibodies that are created to the antigen of the cytolethal descending toxin B, and then that cross reaction with vinculin of the migrating motor complex. Another thing that could happen is we could get a new H. pylori infection. So, H. pylori infection, although most people associate it with hyperchlorhydria, high stomach acid, because of the link to a hyper of H. pylori to things like ulcers. H. pylori actually most commonly leads to hypochlorhydria, and we'll go over that more in the stool culture section of this particular course. So we could have a new H. pylori infection. Perhaps that person traveled, picked up H. pylori in Mexico or a place like that. Perhaps it's just a contamination from a food preparer. But regardless, an H. pylori new infection could lead to hypochlorhydria. And even if you previously fixed the hypochlorhydria, having a new H. pylori infection could lead to a new level of hypochlorhydria and a subsequent SIBO infection, or a SIBO overgrowth, I should say. So enzyme or bile secretion issues. So remember that enzymes and bile, the stomach acid, the pancreatic enzymes, the proper bile issues, those are all precursors, those being out of balance is precursors to the recurrence of SIBO. So even if you fix those things, perhaps somebody goes through a stressful time period and their enzymatic production decreases. Perhaps they develop portal hypertension, or they develop some sort of liver inflammation or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, and all of a sudden their bile secretion goes down. So that could happen later, and then we get persistent symptoms. So it's really important that we are talking to people about their alcohol use, that we are replacing hydrochloric acid, pancreatic enzymes, and bile if that's, if need be. We'll go over the details on dosing in the stool culture section because that's where we actually can test for some of those things. It's important that we're addressing strictures By using and so and structural abnormalities by using techniques like the Warren technique. That's the Warren technique has actually been shown in research to really help with that. Mayan abdominal massage is another good technique. If you can't find a Warren practitioner near your patient, Mayan abdominal massage is another good technique that can help to break up some of that scar tissue. So if you can't find Warren, the next best option is look for a myoabdominal massage therapist near your client. And in addition, we need to make sure that we are fixing the migrating motor complex and working with reestablishing that as we teach you in another lesson how to do that. We also want to make sure that we are working with the vagal nerve and with the peristaltic action so we can use things like deep breathing. A nice way of deep breathing is there we can do like a Wim Hof method of deep breathing, which tends to bring people more into sympathetic, followed by a parasympathetic state after that. So you could look up Wim Hof if you're interested in that. Another great breathing technique is square breathing. So having people breathe into a count of four, out, or hold for a count of four, out for a count of four, hold for a count of four, in for a count of five, hold for five, out for five, hold for five, etc. So that's a nice breathing technique that can really help with parasympathetic. We also want to make sure that we are working with meditation and mindset for people to bring them into parasympathetic and have them help them with their stress response. So we go through in detail in other modules within this course. And in addition to that, if SIBO is negative and symptoms still persist, we want to consider other root causes. So we want to consider small intestinal fungal overgrowth, microbiome abnormalities, parasites and worms, H. pylori and other GI bacteria, viruses, including GI viruses, C. diff toxins. Also, stomach acid, pancreatic enzyme, and bile acid deficiency, nutrient deficiencies, infections that attack the vagal nerve, toxic metals, food reactions, histamine intolerance. So if SIBO test shows improvement, so if SIBO test basically is negative, but there's still symptoms, we need to look for other root causes, right? So that was what that list was. We will go through all of those in context of this course. If SIBO test shows improvement, we want to continue our treatment and then retest. So we want to consider perhaps doing the same treatment or change or adding something. We're going to be more likely to keep the same treatment if it's working and we're just not there yet, and be more likely to change if it's maybe showing like only slight improvement, but not a lot. That's a sign to change it. So if it's large improvement, keep the same treatment. If it's small improvement, definitely consider changing or adding something. And if it's no improvement, then we absolutely want to switch treatment. It could be a different herb, or it could be if you're using herbs, you switch to pharmaceutical, or you switch to the elemental diet. And we also want to consider, if it's not showing improvement, we want to go back to that root cause list, right? So those main root causes are stricture, our alcohol and antibiotics, our motility issues as possibility, our protein pump inhibitors, and heartburn issues, right? We want to go back to all of these different types of root causes so that we are making sure to analyze for what could be the problem that is keeping SIBO around. And sometimes if SIBO is not changing, it's because the root cause is so strong and playing such an important role with this that we're just not going to get anybody over SIBO without also looking at the root. So to kind of sum this up, with SIBO, we want to make sure we treat, we retest according to the retesting criteria. We treat according to whatever feels best, pharmaceutical, herbal, or elemental. And when we retest, we're considering one of the two options that were discussed. If the test is not showing any improvement, then we want to switch treatment altogether. If the test is showing some great improvement, then we probably just want to keep going with what's working. If the test is showing little improvement, then we also probably want to retest. If the test is not showing much or none at all improvement, we want to absolutely make sure we're looking at those root causes of SIBO sooner than later. Once SIBO has been treated and it's eradicated, we also want to make sure that we're considering the root causes and treating the reasons why SIBO occurred. We want to make sure we're really working with our clients on the physical components, as well as the mindset and the stress and the mental components of things. things, which is going to help their immune system and help prevent SIBO recurrence. We'll talk more about mindset and how to work with that in other lessons and other modules. But for now, know that that is going to be an important part of every treatment. Okay, everybody, let's continue on from here.